Hello, I'm Bonnie Rabakoff, host of In the Kitchen. Each week, we spend an hour in the kitchen of one of Kansas City's many celebrated chefs. We select a featured product, we prepare it, we offer some cooking techniques, present it, and then pair it with a drink and have a chat with the chef about his or her personal journey to this profession. In the Kitchen also has a companion website. The web component is shot in high definition, and it offers high-end visuals for the food preparation and products. So when you visit the website, you'll be able to retrieve the show segment or webisode on demand. We are very pleased today to begin a new feature. It is called Cooking with Kids, and it is in response to what unfortunately is an epidemic in our country, and that is that 1 in 3 children are either overweight or obese. So to address this issue, Children's Mercy Hospital and Clinics, Whole Foods Market, and the chefs from In the Kitchen have come together to create Cooking with Kids. It's our goal to offer fun, easy, affordable, and nutritious meals and snacks for families, and also the hope to dispel the myth that healthy food is either too expensive or time-consuming. Those joining me are Dr. Sarah Hampel. She is the Director of Weight Management at Children's Mercy. Jennifer Matisik, and she is the Marketing Director for Whole Foods Market. We also had in the cooking studio at Whole Foods 2 chefs from In the Kitchen. One was Martin Woods, who's the executive chef at Yaya's, and Josh Ian's executive chef at Blanc Burgers. And it was for our premiere broadcast, which is Breakfast on the Go. And that is how we are beginning this special feature. Dr. Hampel, I'd like to begin with you first, if I could. Could we talk about the scope of child obesity in the United States?
Sure. Bonnie, we know, just as you said, that 1 in 3 kids today, ages 6 to 19, is either overweight or obese. And about 25% or 1 in 4 of our 2 to 5-year-olds are either overweight or obese. So it's clearly an
That's
epidemic.
That's a shocking statistic.
It is. It's actually nearly tripled in the past 30 years. And so we're looking at ways not only that we can treat kids who are already overweight or obese, but also help families prevent overweight and obesity in their kids and establish healthy habits at the same time.
So we come up with reasons for why. And does the research have some explanation for this, if you will, epidemic?
You know, there are a lot of different thoughts, but I think that people really realize that there are a variety of different influences, both on the family level, the community level, even the way that that policy exists or doesn't exist to support the health of our kids. So because it is such a multi-level issue, we really need to look to all those different levels to try to help create solutions to the problem. So we are really encouraging coalitions of individuals and organizations from multiple different sectors of society to work together to find solutions. And that's not just our hope at Children's Mercy, but that's the hope of many national organizations like the CDC and others.
You know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, and obviously one to help keep our children healthy. We talk about, and so many of our chefs talk about, buying local, sustainable, organic food, and because we want to take care of ourselves and the earth. But of course, our most valuable asset is our children, and they're going to be our future, and we just need to keep them strong and healthy. So let's talk about the impact of child obesity. It's not just obviously the here and now. What does that mean for the future?
Well, what it means is, first of all, kids who are obese in childhood are very likely to maintain their obesity into adulthood. So it's not just a baby fat issue. In fact, over 75% of kids who are obese in the early adolescent years are going to go on to be obese adults. So that means not just the obesity, but also a variety of health consequences that are going to accompany that obesity. Everything from high lipids and risk for developing type 2 diabetes to orthopedic and sleep problems. The list really goes on and on. There's really no body system that obesity does not affect, and it can affect kids both in childhood and then, you know, sometimes it can be latent or kind of silent until they're adults, and then they all of a sudden show up with a number of different health problems. Probably just as important as the medical problems, though, are the psychosocial and emotional issues that these kids face. We really feel that these are the most prevalent consequences of childhood obesity. So that's a big part of the treatment efforts for us, is really addressing the needs of the child and the family related to their social and emotional health.
And here we also have some of the fashion designers with models that are literally malnourished. And so we are working against healthy body images by putting some value to looking like that. So we have the extremes, but so there's social and emotional consequences for child obesity as well. So how do we make it better? What are some of the things that we can do as a family for our children?
Well, one of the things is what we're going to talk about today, mm-hmm. breakfast, and how important it is to eat breakfast and role model eating breakfast. And that goes, the same goes for the other health habits that we'll probably address in subsequent shows that relate to establishing healthy family lifestyles and preventing obesity. Parents are the leaders of the home, and they really are looked to by their kids as their best, most important role model. And so specifically, when we're talking about breakfast, it's important for parents to be eating breakfast as well. And we'll talk about a variety of things that we can do to make that quicker and have breakfast on the go. But showing your child that it's important to you as well by eating a well-balanced breakfast is incredibly important in their eyes. And it's important for them to be able to establish healthy habits that they'll carry with them into their adult years.
We forget, you know, because at a certain age, there is that, you know, anti-authority, anti-parent sort of mentality. We forget that regardless of what they're saying at the time, the tremendous influence that we do have on our children. My father, may he rest in peace, always said, you don't really have to teach your children how to eat well. You eat well, and then they will. And that was wise and so true. So don't sip a Diet Coke and tell your children to go eat breakfast. You need to be showing them that it is of value and you're eating that healthy breakfast. What about, we talk about the plate model, and I want you to know that you can go to the website and see a graphic of that plate model. But it is a great visual for what a healthy plate looks like. And what, Dr. Hempel, what does that healthy plate look like?
Well, the plate model really emphasizes the importance of fruits and vegetables, even at breakfast, so that you want to start out your day with you know, half your plate being fruits and vegetables. You can extend this model into the other meals for the day as well. So half your plate is fruits and vegetables, a quarter is a lean protein, and then a quarter is some type of a healthy starch, and you don't want to forget a serving of dairy along with that as well, a low-fat or non-fat dairy product is a nice accompaniment to breakfast as well as other meals for the day.
So be thinking of visually, I know many of us, when we cook, we like to see, and it's on our site as well, you know, the signature dish and the plating of it and the way it looks. So having that visual as a guide for what a healthy breakfast looks like is, you know, is helpful as well. Let's talk about breakfast in terms of the classroom experience.
Well, let me just start out by saying that more kids today are skipping breakfast than ever before, and we know that that has some physical consequences as well as some academic consequences. According to a study that was just published in June in the Journal of the American Dietetic Association, a survey of about 10,000 youth revealed that 1 in 5 9 to 13 year olds and 1 in 3 13 to 18 year olds or teenagers are skipping breakfast today. This number has increased over that found in past years. And we know that kids miss out on serious nutrients when they skip breakfast. A host of vitamins, including vitamins A, C, we have calcium, we have the B vitamins that they're missing out on, we have iron that they're losing out on, and fiber. And most of those things they're not making up at other meals during the day. So they're missing out on a variety of key nutrients. And we know that kids also who are skipping breakfast are more likely than to overeat at other meal times. And so kids that are skipping breakfast are more likely to carry excess weight than kids who eat breakfast. So it can actually help you control your weight.
It's counterintuitive, But skipping breakfast actually can help to create a weight problem. And then the effect on the academic. I mean, you go to school, you've had no nutrition, and here you need to study, learn, and...
Right. We tell kids that really eating breakfast starts your engine. It gets your engine running, and that benefits you, you know, certainly from your getting your metabolism running, but also to get that that fuel to your brain to help you think better. So kids that eat breakfast tend to think better, think faster, their memories are improved, and, you know, they perform better in school. So there are academic reasons why it's important for kids to eat breakfast as well as the physical ones.
And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about with our chefs is preparing breakfast. We're looking essentially at two concepts. One, how can we do something in less than a minute with just some planning to have that hard-boiled egg, or if there's no allergies to nuts, even peanut butter on a piece of wheat toast is going to provide some valuable nutrition as well. Plus, we're also going to be spending time with our chefs, encouraging you to create those family memories and family moments by getting in the kitchen together and cooking. We don't have as much FaceTime as we used to. There's that TV set and the computer screen, and having a reason to get together and add the value of quality, nutritious food, have fun while you're doing it with your children. And that's what this is about. So please stay with us in the kitchen for Cooking with Kids.